Welcome once again to Grace Baptist Church. I'd like to say something today, I pray, as prompted by the Lord God Himself. So many of these messages that have been coming out of this pulpit from the pastor, and I pray from the Sunday school time, have been so profitable for the people of God. If they've been profitable for you, I would ask you, please share that with others, that others might view these messages and grow thereby, as some of you have. Thank you for that. Sunday school, a Bible study. Today, we want to deal with weighed in the balances. Weighed in the balances. Proverbs 16:11 proclaims, "Just weights and balances are the Lord's, are of the Lord. All the weights in the bag are His work." Now, I'm going to try to explain to you what that verse is talking about. Just weights and balances are righteous weights and balances. Justice and righteousness go together. They go hand in hand. And we are referring to weights and balances that belong to God and God alone. Job said this in the Old Testament book bearing his name, Job 31:6. "Let me be weighed on an even balance." Now, in looking at Wilson's Old Testament word studies, it is noted that even balance reads in the Hebrew literally a balance of righteousness. So we could say that Job said, "Let me be weighed on a balance of righteousness." Now, the balance we refer to here is a scale used to weigh things. The scale, the balance used in biblical times, was a T-shaped beam with two pans suspended by chains of equal length at both ends of the crossbar of the T, or the top part of the T. A predetermined, standard-sized weight or weights would be placed on one pan and the object to be weighed on the other pan. The standard weights could be adjusted until the two pans were balanced on a level plane. From this balance, the standard weights would reveal the weight of the object on the opposite pan. Now, I would suggest, if you have a trouble picturing that, go online, see what these things look like. You've probably seen it in books and pictures on television and so on and so on. Lady Justice with her balances of justice. Of course, we look figuratively at weighed in the balances. And we do so in order to see the spiritual application of God's purposes for these scriptural texts. Remember, from the two scripture references that we've looked at thus far, both the standard weights and the balance upon which the weights are used belong to the Lord. And they both symbolically represent God's righteousness. They are just. Therefore, these symbolisms represent the judgment of God being exercised. Just weights and balances. Herein, we find the justice of God, the righteousness of God. Our title comes from a scripture that proves that point beyond any doubt or refutation. Just weights and balances are used in God judging things. In Daniel chapter 5, we read of the son of Nebuchadnezzar, King Belshazzar. Daniel, who was God's man, as moved by the Holy Spirit, confronted Belshazzar, pronouncing the judgment of God upon this unrighteous, wicked king. In Daniel chapter 5, we read this. "You, Belshazzar," says Daniel as God's mouthpiece, "you, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart and have lifted up yourself against the Lord of heaven." Now, some of us might have an urge to pat ourselves on the back and say, "Boy, I'm glad that's not me." Folks, that was all of us before God saved us, not humbling our hearts and lifting up ourselves against the Lord of heaven. Such is the case in anyone who does not believe in the gospel of Christ. And you and I at one time were there. You have been weighed in the balances and found deficient. I believe the King James says, lacking, which is good, means wanting. Deficient is another very good word. In other words, you have not been found sufficient, but deficient. Belshazzar was set upon one side of the scale, and when the righteous standard was set upon the other side, he was found woefully deficient. God's standard, upon which we are weighed in comparison to, is perfect righteousness. When you and I are placed upon God's scale of justice, where will we weigh in at? Again, I would like for us to examine ourselves, put ourselves to a test, and as I often say, don't look at me, don't look at your neighbor, don't look at your family, look at yourself. Don't look at your family, look at yourself. Let's put ourselves to a test. Because we all will be weighed in the balances. Yes, indeed. Judgment begins at the house of God. Today, as we are here today, now, do we profess to be Christians? Have we experienced the new birth? Have you been born again? 1 John 4:13. "By this we know that we abide in him and he in us." As Christians, we are one with the Lord Jesus Christ because he has given us of his Spirit, the Holy Spirit of Christ. God giving us of his indwelling Holy Spirit is, circle the word, is the new birth, being born again. Evidence of this is seen in several texts I'd like to read for you. God, in Galatians 4, 6, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Romans 8, verses 15 and 16, you received in the new birth the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself, the Holy Spirit of God, bears witness with our spirit, our human spirit, that we are children of God. You know, we can profess to be children of God, but if we are the children of God, God knows those who are His, because they call upon Him from a new heart. And God knows the new heart that He gave you. He gave you that new heart. And His people do so, calling upon Him from that heart, irresistibly and willfully, led by God's own Holy Spirit. How do you measure up when considering that scripture? Are you prepared? Are you made ready beforehand to be put on the scales and compared to God's just, righteous standard? Please remember, the standard weight on the balances used by God is a perfect righteousness, a just weight, because the weights in the bag are His work. And your weight must match God's weight, His standard, or you will be found deficient. You won't be sufficient. Now let's go on with our self-examination by answering the same question that Christ asked Peter three times in succession. Christ asked, "Do you love me?" Christ said that three times to Peter. Do you love me? Christ made clear in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke that we must love Him more than anyone else. And I'd like to read some other things recorded in John chapter 21, where Christ asked Peter, "Do you love me?" three times. Some other things that follow those questions. John chapter 21, again, I'm reading at the end of verse 19. Christ said to Peter, "Follow me." After He said, "Do you love me?" After He asked, "Do you love me?" three times, He said to Peter, "Follow me." Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved, and that was John, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on His breast at the supper and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" Peter, seeing him, Peter, seeing John, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what of this man?" And Jesus said to him, now listen up. Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." He said to Peter, "You follow me." In this context, I think it's very clear, "you follow me" primarily means you obey me. We look back in John chapter 14, we see this. Christ again speaking. If you love me, keep my commandments. Follow me. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. He who does not love me does not keep my words. Our obedience to the Lord evidences what Scripture says concerning all of God's true people. Listen up. Philippians 2:13. For it is God working in you by His Holy Spirit, both to will, to be willing, and to obey of, and your King James has His good pleasure. The word His is inserted. The word good pleasure is a good translation, but it can also mean, and the definite article is there, actually, and to do of the good purpose, the good intention. God causing us to be willing and obedient in the good purpose. And just what is that good purpose for us who love God? If you will read Romans 8, verses 28 through 30, and most of you who follow us here at Grace Baptist, you will clearly see God's purpose for us is to conform us to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. You've heard that verse so many times from this pulpit. What then is accomplished? Excuse me. When? I really blew that one. When that is accomplished, we will be able to perfectly glorify God. When God conforms us to the image of Jesus Christ, when that good purpose is accomplished, we will be able to perfectly glorify God. And that is the good purpose for the purpose of conforming us to Christ's image. To perfectly glorify God. In the meantime, today, God is enabling us to become more holy day by day. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. And as I have pointed out to you many times, the word sanctification and holiness are the exact same Greek word, letter for letter. It depends upon the translator which word they're going to use. If you will use the word holiness for sanctification or sanctification for holiness, you're not going to do any harm to any of the scriptures I've ever seen. The will of God is your holiness. Sanctification. Being set apart by God for God. To be made holy. God enables us in the pursuit of holiness. We are pursuing holiness, aren't we? By giving us the fruit of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faith, gentleness, and self-control. If you realize, with what I've just said, if you realized you will be weighed in the balances, what sort ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? A question Peter presents in 2 Peter 3:11. God's will is your holiness. What sort ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? And that is set in the light of God's final judgment there in 2 Peter chapter 3. Now, believe it or not, I'm closing. Put a big star by this in your mind. Listen up. If you haven't heard anything, you must hear this. How you and I will fare when weighed in the balances will not be determined. Are you listening to me? How you and I will fare when weighed in the balances will not be determined by the new birth, nor your love for Christ. Your progressive sanctification will not cause the scales to balance. These are evidences that you will not be found deficient. But there is only one way for you to be weighed on a scale of righteousness, balanced by righteous weights which belong to God. Are you listening? Your soul must be weighed, having the imputed righteousness of Christ applied to that soul by a faith given to you in the new birth by God. With that righteousness, you will be weighed in the balances and found sufficient in Christ. Amen.